This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
When a married couple separates, it's always going to be difficult, but there are ways to make it less tough on the kids, particularly on very young children. A new study from La Trobe University, which was commissioned by the Attorney General's Department, has shown that courts and mediators need to put more thought into the parenting arrangements of very young children so that kids aren't disadvantaged after a divorce. Associate Professor Jennifer McIntosh is a clinical psychologist, and she was the team leader on this research. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
What were you hoping to find out from this study?
We actually conducted two studies, but the study with the under five group was particularly interesting, and we were curious to explore what happens for very young children and babies when they are spending considerable amounts of time away from the primary parent, or what we would call the primary attachment figure, particularly in the first couple of years of life. Childcare studies have shown that young babies don't do very well with extended daycare. And we were interested to see whether children in divorced situations were supported or, in fact, struggled, given the kind of overnight living arrangement that they were in.
Can you sort of explain to us what the definition of shared care is? Because I know that a lot of the talk has been about, you know, children in shared care.
Sure. Look, in this country, we have a policy definition, or I guess a definition that applies through a child support agency, that says 35% or more of overnight time is spent with both parents. Now, on the ground, what that looks like is five nights a fortnight or more. Children might live equal time with each parent, but they certainly live substantial time with each parent.
And is that sort of confusing for infants, is it?
Well, we explored this in some detail, so I'll maybe just describe briefly what we found. Mm. With some babies under two, not many babies are sharing care at that rate, okay? So it's not something that happens a lot. So we asked, well, what's happening if they're sharing care even at one night a week or more? Because other studies have found that that's also a little troubling for infants. And the way in which it's troubling is that when an infant has a lot of disruption to the time they spend with a primary carer, it theoretically mucks up something called emotional regulation. That's the baby's ability to simply be settled and to be able to manage a whole range of emotions. Mm. And we found some signs of this. So looking at the longitudinal study of Australian children, we looked at the baby cohort and found that when infants were spending a night or more a week away from their primary parent, they were significantly more irritable and showing far more signs of, you know, separation anxiety when they were living that way. So these babies were more fretful, more likely to cry when they were left alone, difficult to soothe, that kind of thing. Mm. So these we look at as warning signs in early development. That a baby is just not settling into an ability to manage themselves and to be settled. So then what became more interesting is that when we looked at the 2 to 3 year olds, and there was a pretty significant group who were spending five nights or more a fortnight between their two parents. So that's the current policy definition of shared care. What we found with these 2 to 3 year olds was that living that way was independently associated with troubles with persistence and far more problematic behaviours. When you take into account parenting conflict, income, education, all the things that we know affect children's outcomes. Mm. So we pretty much threw the kitchen sink at this research and said, given all of that, is there anything that's also accounted for by the way these children are spending overnight time? So the 2 to 3 year olds, we found living that way, they were having much more trouble with things like staying on task, learning new skills, practicing new skills, coping with interruption, more crying, higher anxiety, eating disturbances and more aggressive sorts of behaviours. When you look at what theories like attachment theory say, all of that makes really good sense. That it seems to be saying that it's just a little bit early for these children to be spending so much time away from a primary carer.
So they sort of need to know who's looking after them, and they need to have the bulk of their time spent with one primary carer.
Well, I think their message is about if we think that emotional regulation matters in babies and little kids, then the continuity of their time with a primary carer matters in the first 3 years of their life, or first four. It matters over time, but it matters very much so in these early years. And by 4 and 5 years, we didn't find these effects. By the time children have got cognitive equipment and that they know what tomorrow is, they know when to anticipate being with one parent and coming back to the other, when they can manage a separation like that, we find that these effects weren't evident.
So older kids obviously can cope with more complex arrangements, but the younger children seems like they weren't coping as well. So what does this mean for, I guess for courts or for parents who have separated? Mm-hmm. How do they need to incorporate this knowledge into what they actually do with their children?
Yeah. We're hopeful that, my colleagues Bruce Smythe and Margaret Kelleher, we're hopeful that this research will encourage some good discussion, and it will encourage parents to think carefully about not rushing their infants into long overnight stints or into kind of shuttling to and fro. That we're hopeful that divorced parents, just, you know, like any parents, will think about how to create continuity in their babies' lives. And at the policy level, I am hopeful that some developmental provisos can be added to the legislation, because currently there aren't any.
Okay. Just from the point of view of the parents, though, I can imagine that often that the shared care sort of model might be something that parents have been more attracted to because they both want to have time with their child, but it seems as though it's maybe not in the best interest of a young child.
Well, we talk in our paper about the difference between overnight and day contact.
Yeah.
I think that our findings don't say anything about frequent day contact, and that's very important.
Mm.
Because, in fact, for that second parent, whether that's mum or dad, so I want to emphasise this, that our findings really aren't about gender. It's not about whether that primary parent is mum or dad. It's about the continuity of being with that one person. So lots of day contact seems to be, you know, good for babies with the second parent, and keeping familiarity, etc. We know that what builds that second relationship particularly is awake time. And so, you know, I would be hopeful that parents would ensure that their arrangement meant that the baby was spending good time during the day with both parents.
All right. Well, thank you very much for, I guess, your research and for sharing some of that with us this morning, Jennifer.
You're welcome.
That's Associate Professor Jennifer McIntosh from La Trobe University. And we're just talking about shared care of children after a separation.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.